This is The Alarm. My name is Trevor Davis, and I'm sounding the alarm. The day of the Lord is at hand. I want to welcome you to this broadcast. Today I'm going to give a little introduction, a short introduction of the Word of the Lord that has unfolded into my life, starting in October of 2004. And I went ahead and put this message on tape on April 2nd of 2005. And I'm already seeing the things that the Lord had showed me would come to pass are unfolding in our life. And I'm wanting to share this message with you, lay it out for you today, and then go ahead and share with you what's happened as I went to the pastors to share with them this alarm and what their reaction was. As I told you, in October of 2004, the Lord started showing me, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man. That's a scripture in Luke 17, verse 26. And in December of 2004, there was a very large earthquake and tsunami. It was one of the largest earthquakes in recorded history in Indonesia. Over 300,000 people had died that day. And as we entered into 2005, that the first week of 2005, the Lord had showed me that to watch and to take note. And he was indicating that there was going to be more cataclysmic disasters were coming. And as time went on, he showed me to watch and to pray, that I was to write down the things that I was seeing and hearing with the scripture is talking about the end times. One of the first things that the Lord showed me was that persecution was coming to his people. And for the most part, the people aren't prepared for the type of persecution that's coming. So I really encourage you to read the following. Read Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, Luke 17, and Luke 21. Of course, there's a lot of other details about the end times in the book of Revelation, book of Daniel, and Zechariah. But if you'll study the Gospels, when Jesus was asked, tell us about the end of the age and what are the signs of your coming, Jesus, he lays it out for you, the types of signs that we can expect. When the Lord was amazed when he was here and he walked amongst the religious people, how they could discern the signs of the weather, but they couldn't discern the times and the signs of the times. He was very angry with that. There was a people that were instructed to handle the word of God and to lead the people of God into worship before a holy God, and they should have been looking for the Messiah, but they were totally oblivious of the day of their visitation. So we need to hear the Lord in this, that we need to be recognizing the signs, especially as they're laid out for us in the gospel. The Lord was showing me about the severe persecution, and as you read the Gospels, Jesus said that they of your own house will be your enemies, that it would literally come to pass where brother would betray his brother, and parents would betray their children, and children would betray their parents. And we need to understand that as we serve the Lord, you will suffer persecution for his name's sake. So the Lord is wanting his people to prepare for this type of persecution, that way you can handle it properly. If you prepare your mind, your emotions, of what that could be like if those that are closest to you were to turn against you, you want to handle it like Jesus did. Persecution's coming from world governments, world powers. You'll actually see a religious system that's gone astray from the Lord, and even though they have all the semantics, all the linguistics of the things of God, yet they don't deny him by their behavior and by their desires. And you will actually see a religious system joining with the world powers to persecute the true disciples of Jesus Christ. Prepare for that. Another thing the Lord showed me in this message, the alarm, was that God was judging. He was literally standing up to judge. He was going forth to judge the kings and the kingdoms. That he is judging his house, those that profess faith in him. The Lord showed me that there's going to be martial law in the United States of America. That as the judgments of cataclysmic disasters come forth, they'll seek to bring control and keep things under control, and they'll actually undermine the Constitution of the United States. We'll see great deception. Jesus talked about there'll be false prophets, false teachers, false ministries, false Christs, and unfortunately, Jesus said there'd be many that would believe the lies. The only reason why a person would believe a lie, if you'll read in 2 Thessalonians, is if you don't love the truth and don't lay down your life for the truth, God will give you over to believe a lie and to believe a deception. So make sure that you love the truth and that you lay down your life for the truth, regardless of the cost. The Lord said there'd be many would fall away. There's going to be a great apostasy, a great many of people that leave their faith, completely abandon their faith. One of the things the Lord showed me was Isaiah chapter 1, when as he looks at his people, people that he's purchased, people that belong to him, it's similar to Isaiah chapter 1, where God said that his people had forgotten him. They don't know him anymore. And he was very grieved. He even said that their children were liars and corrupt. And that God says, even though your sins are so horrendous and grotesque before me, if you'll come back, I'll cleanse them. I'll make them white as snow. But he said, learn to do the right thing. Learn to help the widow and the oppressed. And that's what the Lord wants. We need to return back to the simple thing in the faith, and that's helping those that are in need around us, those that are sick, those that are oppressed, the orphans, the widows. We want to let go of the things that are not important and serve the Lord. Since this is the time of judgment, the Lord says that in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20 and 21, that he says he calls his people into the chamber and shut the door about you, that you may be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So the Lord's calling his people to come unto him and hide. Hide in the Lord, that as his fierce wrath and great judgments come forth, you're protected under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is calling his people to be as Jesus, his son, his perfect servant that was completely humble before him. And we need to be girding ourselves and humbling ourselves, and that is how the Father honors us. As you humble yourself and wash the disciples' feet, just like Jesus did, this is what pleases the Father. We see in the land today how men, using God's name and his word, have lifted themselves up as a man-made skyscraper, and they've exalted themselves. And in this hour of judgment, the Lord is coming forth to bring down the man-made skyscraper, the entities, the things that are done in his name as a Babylonian creation. The Lord is against that. You want to withdraw from anything that exalts man, exalts flesh, and glory only in the Lord. Only in his name. There's going to be a great exposure. The Lord says in Ephesians chapter 5 that it's a shame to even speak of the things that are done of the people of darkness behind covert. But that which is light does make manifest. And the Lord says that he will expose the wickedness and the deception and the corruption. It'll be shouted from the rooftop. You shall certainly see this. This is the hour to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord will be established again in the earth. And as it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 11, that great fear of the Lord came upon his people and upon those that heard the stories of the testament of God's mighty presence being manifest among his people. In Acts chapter 5, it records a story of a man and his wife that had conspired against the Holy Spirit. They had lied. They were pretending and acting to the people, not recognizing that God tries, his eyelids try, his eyes see. And they were struck dead. The Lord says in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, to sound the alarm among in his holy mountain, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It's difficult for people to hear this message of the alarm because they say, I don't want to have fear. But you should fear. You should fear the Lord. And we're told this. Jesus told us repeatedly. He said, fear not men. Fear not them that can kill the body. But fear him that after he's killed the body, he can throw you into hell. Fear him. That's what Jesus said. So understand correctly, the purpose of the alarm is to make you aware of something you didn't know, you hadn't seen, you hadn't heard of it, you weren't aware of it. It's similar to as if your house was on fire and you were asleep at night. You can be assured that the fire department would come down the street with sirens and lights flashing, and they would break down your door, and with a bullhorn they would shout at you to wake you up, that you would run out of the house. And you would leave everything that was not important but your beloved, your family, and you would run out of the house to safety. And the same thing is true today. You need to be leaving the things that are not important, the things of this age that are of no use, and you need to run to the Lord in this time of judgment. There was another thing the Lord had shown me about this message of the alarm, that there would be both judgment and harvest. That even as it says in the book of Angels, how the angels were loosing seals of judgment into the earth, there were also other angels thrusting a sickle for harvest. So we need to be having our eyes on the harvest, because it's white, it's ripe for harvest, and the Lord will use his people to bring people into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. March 10th of 2005, I was awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning. I call this the rude awakening. I was absolutely struck by the silence of that hour, and I was aware that the Lord had wakened me up. I got up, I looked out the window, and it was so silent, and it was so still, it was profound. It seemed it was the calm before the storm and the stillness before the violent shaking. I sensed that the shaking that was coming is so severe, it's like a wild animal that shakes its prey by the neck. Unrelentlessly and without mercy. The sense of awe filled me, and I realized that God had held back his anger so long that he had come to the point where he could not hold back any longer. Suddenly, he moves and shakes his hand. I could perceive souls that were crying in terror and sheer horror as the world was devastated in smoke and ruins. This event is so great and fierce, who shall not fear the Lord when his judgments are made manifest? When that vision came to me, I was struck by what a horrible way to be awakened to the spiritual reality of being asleep. Let me give you this assurance, beloved of God. Psalms 32, 6 through 8 says this, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." And listen to this. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the middle of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof." Psalm 46, 1 through 3. I want to talk to you about the religious system. We understand in the Gospels, when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, had come to his own people, there was a religious system that believed in God, they believed in the Messiah, they believed in the Scripture. Yet the one that the Father had sent, they denied him and despised him and rejected him. They opposed him to the point of executing him. Of course, it fulfilled all the writings of the prophets that as an innocent lamb was slain and brought to the slaughter, so was Jesus for the sins of the world. And that's the gospel, the good news. Jesus didn't seek his own will, but the will of the Father, and to fulfill all righteousness. But we see a religious system that, from the beginning of time, had executed all the prophets, the servants of the Lord, that had come with a message, a plea from God to call the people back to walk with him in holiness and righteousness, and yet all the religious system had killed all of God's servants. So we need to understand, this is what they've done to Jesus. This is what they've done to the apostles. This is what they've done through all the prophets throughout history. And they will do it again. Jesus was walking amongst the religious system in his day, and he was likening the religious system to whited sepulchres. He said, "You appear beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're dead men's bones and corruption." And he talked about to beware of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because he said it was like leaven, and it permeates and defiles, and it is death, and it works death through. So we're to take heed from this religious system of the defiling effect that it has. The paradox is, even though it says in name that it loves God, yet it rejects the servant of God. The religious system is oblivious to what God is truly saying. The religious system doesn't love God because it doesn't receive his messengers. It literally resists what God's purpose is. But in his name, it creates a monstrosity of a Babylonian system that seeks to entrap the people and the masses. The Lord was showing me about having false alliances, how people like to belong to the big thing and the great thing, the thing that is esteemed in the eyes of man. And they know it's false, but they go ahead and serve it and support it anyway. Why would you do that? People do it because of what they get out of it. It could be a paycheck, there could be honor, or people just like to belong to the thing. But right now, all of this is weighed in the balance. The Lord's calling his people to be faithful to him and stand aside from the leaven or the defilement. Stand aside from that. The Lord was showing me about the bondage of a religious pharaohs. The pharaoh wants to make a palace for himself, and he makes the people of God slave. The Lord's bringing that down. The Lord showed me that there's going to be martial law in the United States of America. The Lord showed me that out of Isaiah chapter 10, that the United States of America is a hypocritical nation. That on one hand, how we'll spend billions of dollars to go into foreign lands to bring democracy, yet when there's innocent blood dying in this country, we pass laws that decree to make it supposedly right. That is unacceptable to Holy God, and he's going to judge it. The things that the Lord said would come to pass are coming. And this nation and on the horizon and our atmosphere of our culture has been slowly changing as water is heated slowly and brought to a boil. Now we're in the hour where the boiling water boils over. The stage is set and we are ripe for judgment of God. We will see the religious system joining again with Herod as they did in Acts chapter 4. Where Herod and Pilate and the rulers of Israel and the people all opposed Jesus. And in an hour of cataclysmic disasters that come from the left and from the right, and such chaos comes, the religious system will be used by the government to bring control of the masses. And they will have a man-centered solution. And it'll ultimately lead to a man of peace, which will have a system of identification where a mark will be in the hand and in the forehead, which the people will not be allowed to buy or sell without that mark. But he that takes that mark will suffer eternal judgment of fire. You don't want to take that mark. This is the hour to believe God, have faith that God will supply your needs. Look above, look to the Lord. Don't look to man. Put your trust in the Lord. The dilemma is having a culture that is so self-reliant and is not used to trusting in God. What will they do in an hour of calamity? So essentially, the Lord is saying to sound the alarm that his time of judgment is coming. He's calling his people to seek his face. He's telling his people to hear his voice. And they're to enter the secret place of the Lord and shut the door that they may be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. The Lord's saying that there's going to be multiple cataclysmic disasters coming suddenly and at the same time. That he's going to judge the kings and the kingdoms. That there will be persecution, but God will keep his people. They are the apple of his eye, the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. And no harm will come to a hair on their head. Stand aside from that which God is judging. For God is going forth, plucking up, throwing down, and destroying. But he's building and planting his people, his called out ones. There'll be a great reversal where lack will come to the earth. But his people have abundance and peace. When chaos comes and destruction, yet the hand of the Lord will build a glorious people. You'll know them because they're lowly and meek, and they follow their Lord. They are like him, and they love him. That's the message, ladies and gentlemen. That's the alarm. And I want to tell you what happened to me. And I came to Tennessee to minister with Rick Wiles, and I shared the alarm. And he and his family had prayed for me to go forth, go into the world, and to share with the word of the Lord what he's given me. And I went back to my homeland, which was at the time Montana. And a zeal came into me, and the release had come to go speak the word of the Lord. And I prayed, and I asked the Lord to send me, and I would go meekly and but truthfully and speak the, and share with the people. Because as I looked in the land and I looked at the churches, they weren't telling the people that judgment was coming. I arrived in Montana in June of 2005, and in September, I received a little placard from a church advertising their church to come. And it, what it talked about was 7 steps to fulfill your dream. And I couldn't believe it. I was aghast. I asked the Lord, how can this be? 7 steps to fulfilling my dream? I mean, that's not what the Lord's saying. When the Lord had me leave my homeland, I left my family. I fled for safety and to be where the Lord was guiding me. But yet, here's a message called 7 Steps to Fulfill Your Dream. So I went to this church to see, and I said, Lord, I humble myself. I go. You show me if I'm wrong. I went to the church, and they did their thing, and when I left, I was sadly noting that there wasn't the presence of the Lord. There wasn't any conviction. There wasn't the urgency. And I was very grieved. And I felt, you know, I need to call the pastor and ask him to call the people to prayer, to emergency prayer. And that was a Sunday. And then Monday went by, Tuesday went by, Wednesday went by. And I was feeling pretty sick about the whole thing. And I received a call from the secretary of that church. And she was trying to welcome me to come back to the church. And I shared with her, I have to tell you that this is not a day like usual. This isn't church like usual. And please, I left my homeland of California. I lived there for 49 years. I left my family. I left everything. I left my business plans. And the Lord showed me that there's going to be multiple cataclysmic disasters coming. Please, is your pastor in town? You know, is he here? And she said, no, he was out of town. And I said, well, I apologize that I didn't call your church and just beg the pastor to call for emergency prayer, a call for a solemn assembly. Anyway, the next day I took her this tape that I had made of the alarm and several of the things that I had written, and I took them to her. Well, about a week went by, and I'm receiving another call from a young gentleman from their church and that was wanting to welcome me to the church. And I told him the same thing, that, you know, this isn't a day like usual. This isn't church as usual. These are urgent times. Well, he didn't want to talk about that. Another week or so went by, and I'm getting a call from another young man. He was an assistant pastor to the church, and I went through the same thing. And I told this gentleman that I've left several articles there, that the Lord had spoken to me, and please, would he look into it? Because I was very concerned because of the people. The people aren't prepared for what's coming. That's what the Lord had showed me. And he said he'd look into it. Well, he'd call me about twice a week, and the next time he said he hadn't got around to it, and the next time he called me, he said that he was just too busy to listen to it. And I said, please, I beg you. I said, please listen to the tape while you're showering, while you're shaving. If you hear the word of the Lord, praise God. But if you don't hear the word of the Lord, then just throw it away because it means nothing. But please look into it. He says, sure. Well, anyway, he goes, Trev, hey, come on over to the Halloween party we're having this Sunday. I felt like throwing up. What I'm trying to share with you, there's great danger, and God's people that profess faith in him are not prepared for what's coming. And those that are appointed to teach the people and to prepare the people and care for the people aren't telling them. And that grieves my heart. That's why I'm doing this message. I'm sounding the alarm. And I want the people of God to distinguish between a true people of God and a false people of God. So what happened was, he called me. Of course, this went on for about 6 weeks. And they called me again. And I said, did you listen to the tape? No, but he invited me to another picnic on that Sunday. And I realized the Lord was showing me that he was literally reading from a manual of church growth. manual. It was techniques and psychological deployments to draw the people. But I have to ask, what's the point of having large crowds when the people aren't just following Jesus, when they don't know the basic things? Like Jesus said again, you can tell the signs of the weather, but you can't discern the signs of the times. Well, this is true. I went to the gym to get some exercise right in the midst of all this. And there on the TV monitor was CNN with a caption, state of emergency. And I thought, how odd. You go to the church, which should have spiritual illumination, understanding, seeing the fulfillment of the scriptures coming to pass, but yet they did not say anything. But yet on CNN, they say state of emergency. It's a paradox. But we're seeing this taking place. We're seeing programs like Discovery Channel and other programs that are showing, talking about cataclysmic disasters that are on the forefront. Volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis. Great things. We're having record solar flares, record sunspots, wars, threats of war, nuclear war, pestilence, bird flu, earthquakes, volcanoes, famines, economic pressures. All these things are in our world today. I'm sounding the alarm. The day of the Lord is at hand. Run to the Lord. Hide in Him. Listen to His voice. Listen to His voice. He's speaking from heaven. Let go of the vanities. Let go of the things that are not important. Put your hand to the plow. Go forth into the harvest. Speak His word. Help the afflicted and the oppressed. Heal the sick. Speak the word of the Lord. Bring forth the souls out of darkness. For the day of the Lord is at hand. Well, that was just one of the churches that I had spoken to. I took a list of the churches and called them, and I asked to speak with the pastor, and I just said, sir, I'm just, my name's Trevor. I'm a Christian. I'm calling you in the name of Jesus today. And I've heard a message from the Lord. It's in the Bible. We're in the last days. The people aren't ready for what's coming. Many will fall away. Please tell the people to get ready. Judgments are coming. And I would repeat this to the pastors one by one by one. I had a pastor tell me, after he listened to me, he said, Trevor, you're telling me the truth. I'm on the fourth day of a fast. I've called my people to the secret place. God bless you. I was shocked. I didn't expect it. I called another pastor, and he was a Lutheran pastor, and he said, I agree. I had talked to another intern pastor, and his mouth was as if it would dropped. And he was done. I believe the Lord showed him. And indeed, we are in dire days. But the other pastors that I had called, I must say, they thought I was a wacko. They despised the word. But it's for the people. It's for the people. You have to ask, what would you do if you saw a house on fire and you knew that there's people inside and they didn't know? Wouldn't you tell them? You'd have to. It'd be criminally negligent not to. I'll give you another example. After I had been prayed for by Rick Wiles and his family to go forth, when I went back to Montana from Tennessee, I specifically prayed about this church that had sent me the seven steps to fulfill your dream message. And I went into that church, and I was greeted by one of the young men that was trying to recruit me to his church. And I said, hello. And I asked if the pastor was there. And he said, well, I knew the Lord showed me he was going to be there, by the way. And I went there in humility and asked if the pastor was there. My name is Trevor. He said, yeah. And he goes and he comes back to me and he says, well, does he know you? And I said, no, I sort of. You know, I've been here before, but I'm coming in the name of Jesus, and I have something extremely important to share. And so he went back, came back and said, well, he's listening to a video right now. And I said, okay, does he understand that I've come in the name of Jesus? He said, yes. Well, does he understand that I'm saying I have something that's urgent? He said, yes. And I said, well, this is so important, what I have to share. I will make myself available 24 hours out of the day. You just tell me when to come back. I will come back. And if it's in the middle of the night. He said, oh, well, we made an appointment for the next day. After I left that church that day, the Lord told me, he said, don't take, you know, he didn't want me to take it personally. It wasn't me they were rejecting, because I came in Jesus' name, not my name. And the Lord showed me that the gentleman wasn't listening to the Lord. He was listening to videos. So I went back the next day, and he did receive me very graciously. We went into his office, and he sat back, and I started sharing. I said, I'm just a guy here from California. The Lord had me leave, and I have this message from the Lord. And I told him, I'm sounding the alarm. The day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord's calling his people to seek his face, to hear his voice, and multiple cataclysmic judgments are coming. He said that persecution was coming, that people aren't ready, and God's calling his people to hide in him. That even as God warned Noah about things that were not seen as yet, and how Noah had moved in fear and prepared, so God's calling his people. Well, he sat there just nodding, and then I stopped because I said, are you hearing this? You know, he goes, yeah, you're not telling me anything profound, not telling me anything new or nothing I didn't know. And I said, well, good. I'm glad then you see these things. And he goes, you know, we're telling the people, you know, to get ready and prepare and things like that. Well, I said, well, let me share with you what the Lord showed me about you. And that's where it got really touchy. And as I shared with him what the Lord had showed me, he got very angry. And he accused me of being a self-appointed prophet, which is probably the greatest insult you could say to me, because I am not desiring my own will. I am not seeking to speak my own word. I have waited on the Father for over 25 years. And God has opened this door of utterance. God has given me a message. And I go in his name and speak his words. So I just let the man bash me and just looked at him eye to eye. And finally he spoke to me and just shared the frustration of being a pastor, how most people, he said, don't walk with the Lord. Only probably 15% of Christians are in Christianity are even Christians. And I said, I feel for you. It'd be hard to be a pastor. And he just shared how people can come in off the street and just kind of blah, 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 just offer something that has no legitimacy. And then later I assured him, you know, I didn't have an axe to grind, and I was just sharing from the Lord. And he finally consented, yeah, I know. And then, you know, we spoke for 45 minutes, and then he prayed for me, and he asked me, God, that I would be blessed going out and blessed coming in. And I praised the Lord for that. But it's the response that concerns me. When someone comes as a simple disciple in the name of Jesus and to react that way is a shock. And because Jesus said, whoever hears you, hears me. Jesus said, whoever receives you, receives me. But whoever despises you, despises me. That's why I made it very clear. I'm here in the name of Jesus. Do you see the paradox? The pastors that are coming into fasting and prayer, calling their people to be drawn nigh to the Lord, are too few, too far and in between. And when you read Matthew 24, what Jesus says is many will fall away and turn and betray other disciples. And this is my hope, that you would be awakened, that you would hear the sound of the alarm, and you would run to the Lord, and that you would let go all the vanities, all the things that are not eternally minded, and have an eternal focus, an eternal perspective, and draw on the Lord the strength that you're going to need in these days, and an anointing and a gifting from the Lord, that you may serve him effectively in his harvest. View your life as a steward. Be faithful with the things that God has given you, your family, your marriage, your children, your land. Be faithful and watch and pray. That's all the Lord requires of you, is you be watching and praying and be found faithful at his coming. Because he comes as a thief in the night.